to arrange time.
Well, amen. It's good to be here in God's house this morning. We'll be in Luke chapter number 1 when we get to the Bible. Luke chapter number 1. Glad to see all of you folks here this morning. We've had a very busy month, and it's going to continue to stay that way. So keep your spurs on your boots and get ready to move on down the road. Because we've got a lot that's happened. Lord, those who've blessed us lately with a lot of efforts to be able to reach out to our community and grow our church and see folks come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. And so we're going to take every opportunity we can to glorify and lift up Christ. We have two families that are visiting with us this morning. I want to recognize Brother Wheeler, family over here. They're singing evangelistic ministry group. Wheelers on Wheels. So y'all get by after church and visit with them and tell them appreciate them stopping by. And then you have over here the Patrick family right here on this side. Y'all get over and visit with them as well. He's an evangelist as well, traveling. He was with us last year about the same time, stopped in to visit, and they're here with us today. And then all the other visitors, we're glad that you're here. Thank you very much for visiting us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, and we're glad that you're here. We had a wonderful time at the open house yesterday for you that could make it, and visiting with folks here at the church and watching people fellowship together was wonderful. Time of the year to just sit down and just enjoy one another. So we're glad that you were able to come yesterday to that. Then this evening, youth, we need you to be here about 4:30. If you could, so we can set the props up and get everything here for the play tonight. The play put on by our Wednesday night Bible Club, Discovery Club, the youth of our church. We'll be putting it on, and you will not want to miss the wise man. The wise man. He's a character that you don't want to miss, so I encourage you to show up and see just the wise man, if nothing else. All right, that's 4:30 this evening. We're glad to have Osceola Memorial Gardens donate what you see here. Brother Jim already mentioned it, but it blessed me. Some of you, just members of the church, of course, the church will send a letter of thank you. But if just some of our members, you know, if you have any deal with it, send them a card and say thank you for blessing our church with such beautiful flowers. You know, they allow us to come and sing at their the funeral home on the 4th. Then on Tuesday the 18th, I'll be preaching a service for them, for the all the folks who have lost loved ones this year. So that will be over on the one on Old Lake Road. We all, of course, went to St. Cloud. So it's a blessing that they've used our church, and they've asked us to be used of the Lord for them. And then they bless us with these beautiful flowers. So what a blessing be if some of you just write a Christmas card or something. Say, we're from Lock Haven Baptist Church, and those points says are real pretty. And we're glad that you sent it. It would be a blessing. That would, really would be a blessing there. All right. Got one little joke I'll tell you this morning. I had two, but I want to tell one so I can be done here at 12:40 so y'all go home. All right. Tell them both, huh? Tell another joke. Yeah, that was a good one, Brother Jim. Well, you're fast on your feet. I wouldn't have thought of that. This is not going to hit some of you too well because it's kind of old technology. Talking about faxing this morning. We're way past faxing. I understand nowadays y'all can Bluetooth everywhere. So this is way past that. So if you'll bear with me, here we go. When a young woman's mother, is that part of going over 40 just for forget where you're at and what you're reading. The other day I was texting my wife and I told her, I was telling my wife, honey, I'm back here on the property. I was telling her that and I sent it to my son and my son said, what? So I just told him, I texted him back. I said, that's just part of what you got to look forward to, son. When a young woman's mother's office got a fax machine, the daughter suggested sending their correspondence back and forth by fax instead of the post office. Of course, it'd be much cheaper and it would be quicker as well. But the mother continually, week by week, month by month, to send cards to her or letters by mail, and it began to aggravate the daughter. However, Christmas time came around, and the mother showed that she had full grasp of the technology of the day. She faxed a $100 bill with a note. Merry Christmas, darling. You're right, it is cheaper to fax than to mail. Love, Mom. Chapter number one. We're going to continue our studies through the book of Luke. We started three Sundays ago, going verse by verse, chapter by chapter in the book of Luke. And Lord willing, next Sunday we'll be here with the message of the birth of Christ next Sunday. That's the goal that we have in mind. And then we'll continue, of course, studying through the book of Luke till we finish, all the way to the end. Now, 2 weeks ago, I asked some of you, or all of you, I asked us all to remember that we'd have a memory verse. Would there be anybody willing to stand up and give us that memory verse? Luke chapter number 1, verse 32. Luke 1, 32. Okay, since that one went over so well, Brother Bill, go ahead.
And he shall be called. And he shall be called great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Amen. That's good. Anybody else? Go ahead, Drew. Amen. All right. Well, since that one went over so great, and y'all learned that, we're going to get another one this week. This one's going to be Luke 1:76. So when we get to Luke 1:76, as we begin to read, let's read it all together, Luke 1:76. But we're going to be starting in Luke chapter 1, verse number 46. So you have to keep up with me and stay with me so you know when we get to Luke chapter 1, verse 76, we'll all read that together. Verse number 46 of Luke chapter number 1. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall be call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation, he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Verse 55. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but it shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Verse 65. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world begun, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Verse 75. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Once again. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of the dead, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. The birth of John the Baptist, and we've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Last week we looked over the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that it was made prior to the actual birth. Today we will get into the prophecy of John's birth fulfilled. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, and this is an amazing portion of Scripture. Here you have Mary's outburst of praise, where she begins to glorify God on high and praising his wonderful names. You can think back throughout Scripture, perhaps back when Hannah gave birth to Samuel, and she had a wonderful outburst of praise. I tell you, it's nothing wrong with standing up and giving praise to God and telling God how good he is and how great he has done for us and how merciful and how kind that he's been toward us in our days. Then you think about in Exodus chapter 15, where Moses had a whole chapter of praise, and how the Bible says to us that we're, if we have breath in us, that we should give praise to Almighty God, and we're to worship him. Because why? He's well worthy of our worship. I mean, he's well worthy of our worship. He does so much for us, has been so good to us, and helps us along the way. And when we fall, he picks us up, dusts us off, and he calls us our children. When we deny him, he calls us the ones that he loves and cares for. He reaches out and he seeks us when we go astray. And he just loves us in such a great way. So he's well worthy to be praised. And And then Mary here in verses 46 through 56 begins to praise the Lord God. In verse 46, you see that Mary magnified the Lord and not herself. Well, isn't that something we need? We need to stop for a moment, just like Mary here. Hey, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." She didn't bring the spotlight upon her. She didn't put the spotlight. Look, hey, look what I've done. Look what I've become. I have been chosen of the great God of the universe to bring forth this son. No, she magnified the Lord God herself. And I think, dear friend, if we'll stop for a moment, we'd get around alone by ourselves, and then with friends, and then in a corporate setting like in the congregation of our church. And hey, we wouldn't be afraid to praise God. Open up that song book and sing praises to Him and Him on high. And hey, tell Him how good He's been to you. Hey, preacher, you don't know how bad I've got it. They cut my hours back. They've said they're going to lay folks off. Listen, it's more difficult to get from A to B. Preacher, you don't know how bad. Hey, you can wake up this morning without the grace of God in your life. You'd be in hell if you was to die without promise. He's done a lot of good for us, dear friend. He's watched over us, and He's cared for us, and He's blessed us. So be like Mary here a little bit. Don't draw attention to yourself. Hey, there's enough soloists in this world. We need to stand up and magnify the one that's worthy to be praised. Look, that don't include Kobe Bryant. That don't include Drew Brees. That don't include Albert Pujols. That doesn't include the governor or the Senate or the President of the United States of America. The one that is worthy to be praised is God Himself, who gave His only begotten Son that you and I might have eternal life.
Amen.
We put a lot of praise elsewhere upon man and man worship, don't we? We need to be careful, be like Mary. You see what happened here? Mary confessed her need for the Savior. Look there in verse 47. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." Have you thought just for a little bit since you've been saved for a little while how much you really need God? How much you really need the Lord Jesus Christ? She confessed her need. I mean, we're like the church in Revelation. We're rich, we're wealthy, we have need of nothing, as though we don't even realize that we're blind and wretched. Oh, dear friend, we need God. We need God in our life from sun up to sundown, raising our kids in our work aspect at home, around friends and families. We need to confess our need. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're not to have any confidence in the flesh. So often, boy, dear friend, we have so much confidence in the flesh. We lean upon the flesh. We lean upon our knowledge, our education, our that which we have gained. And listen, Paul, a very educated man, said, "Hey, all that I've gained, I count as dung that I might gain Christ." We need to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to acknowledge our need for a Savior. Look how she did it in verse 48. "For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid." I looked at that word. You know what that means? A female slave. A female slave. Man, you know, she said, "Hey, look what you..." She didn't raise herself up to some pedestal. She didn't say, "Hey, I'm the mother of God." She didn't say, "I'm worthy to be praised." She didn't say, "Come to me and pray that I might transfer you." There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. You know what she said? "Hey, I magnify the Lord God. I am in need of my Savior. I am but a lowly handmaid." Oh, dear friend, if we just understand and realize that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. And without Christ Jesus, dear friend, without the Savior, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and the raising again from the dead and the washing away of your sins, hey, dear friend, you'll spend eternity in hell. Yes, sir. She confessed her need, realizing her low estate. Isn't it amazing when we talk to others how great we are? Brother Johnson, we tell them about a fishing trip, we tell them exactly how we hooked the fish. Like we was underwater with it. Like we was down there snorkeling, had the hook in our hand, and we just lured him in. And we're in the deer stand, we're hunting, and we're out there, and here comes that big one, boy. He's looking like that big old thing.
horns everywhere, and we tell our story. And it was like we called him in. We speak the language. We talked to him, and they just came right on up. Look what we did. And we're so confident in ourselves. We forget to tell about all them times we threw the hook out there and didn't pull nothing in, didn't we? We forget about all them cold days we're sitting there freezing by 4:30 in the morning. Man, am I crazy? What am I doing out here? We forget to tell about all them missed shots. Backfire, the gun not firing. We forget about all that, but boy, we get it. We talk about it, and we lift it up. Boy, we're needy. We're a needy people. Church, we need God. We can't never get too big for God. I'll tell you what, you can always get too big for God, dear friend, but we can never get too small for Him. She said, look, thy handmaid. Listen, I'll tell you, I believe, I'm not absolute positive about this, but I believe it was Brother Robertson up in North Carolina, Gospelite Baptist Church, and Brother Brown had called him and said, Brother Brown was his associate for many years, and he had called him Brother Robertson, listen, they want to give me a doctor's degree at this such and such college and such and such school. Said, Brother Robertson, I don't think he got out of second grade real good. He runs about 3,000 up yonder at there. He said, he's just in a good spot. Yeah, he's in a good spot where God lets the glory flow. That's where it is right there. But Brother Brown said, what I do is, Brother Robertson did this. He said, you take it, you accept it with humility, and when you get back, you put it right in your drawer and realize, hey, it's God.
Amen.
Not that doctorate degree.
Amen.
That's pretty good advice there. Listen, there's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with reaching out and being well-rounded and educating yourself. And I encourage you all, listen, kids, don't ever drop out of school. You stay in school and then you get your education. And you say, well, they're teaching me all kinds of stuff that's against God, against my hand. You just do what I told you a couple weeks ago. You write on that test according to the textbook. This is what the textbook says. But you believe in your heart that God created man in the beginning. Hey, you steadfast on the truths of the Word of God. You be a light in this world, the salt for this world, dear friend. You go ahead and get your education, and you let God use you that you might one day be Sunday school teachers here in our church and teaching kids and educating them about Jesus Christ and God Almighty, about how they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. But don't put too much confidence in that their education, dear friend. You put it all in what God has done through you. Verse 49. That helped us out a lot. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. The might and the holiness of God was presented. You know, dear friend, whenever you stand before people and you're out there in this world, and we're to be of this world, dear friend, in this world, not of this world. We're to be out there. And when you stand out there in front of that world as an ambassador for Christ, you're out there in that workplace, in that school place, and wherever you might be, dear friend, and you don't fall lure to the laughing just out of fear and peer pressure because someone tells some off-colored, nasty, foul joke, and you begin to laugh, and you stand, you stand up for the holiness of God. Church, I might lose my job. But dear friend, you put too much faith in that job anyway. You might go there tomorrow and have listen, just put it this way. How many of you know that's been foul, cussing, dirty, filthy, drinking on the job, sneaking around, stealing job stuff, have lost their job? Did it help them? They still got the pink slip, didn't they? So you be right by God. You lay your head down in bed at night and know that, hey, you have presented the holiness of God Almighty in the workplace. Yeah. That when people looked at you, you reflected the image of Christ. Present it, my dear friends. I'll tell you, it's Jesus going to change this world. It's Jesus and Him alone. Look at verse 50. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. When's the last time you just stopped for a moment and just praised Him for His mercy? He's been awful merciful to us, dear friend.
Some of you right now are going through some difficult things in your life. Your life's falling apart. There are situations that you're dealing with. I'm telling you, dear friend, it is the mercies of God that sits our feet on the ground every day. It is the mercies of God that stops the waters from going from shore to shore and only lets them go to one a certain point. Just like He will let that water of the ocean go to a certain point and stop, dear friend, He'll only allow the troubles in your life to go so far as long as you turn to Him. Now, you turn away from Him, you go your own way, dear friend, and you do what you want, and you're going to, the way of the transgressor's heart. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Listen to verse 51 through 53. He has shown strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. You notice that? The proud, the rich, the haughty, those lifted up on themselves, all based. All of us. You know why that is? They don't depend on God. See, God's not, listen, God's not against you having things. God's not against you having income. God's not against you having retirement. God's not against you having a house, a car, suits, clothes, shoes. He's not against you having and having materialistic stuff. But dear friend, when that materialistic stuff takes the place of God in your life, you're headed for trouble. You see there, the rich was abased, the high was lifted up and on their own pedestal, and then all of a sudden they fell, and then what happened? God cared for those who looked for Him for help. This here whole thing, this here verse 46 through 56, all of this is just a praise of Mary. And not one time in there did we find a portion of the Scripture where Mary said, "Look to me." What was her message? It's all about God. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about the rich. Not about the wealthy. It's not about those who have things or don't have things. It's all about the Savior, the Son of God. It's amazing, isn't it? We get all things out of whack when we get out of focus on God, don't we? If we get out of focus on God, if we're not careful, if we wake up at 7:30 before 7:49, we've already not had three fights with our wife. I guess none of y'all fighting at home. If we get out of focus with God and we get up at 7:30, we've had three fights with our wife. We've done told the kids they can eat bricks instead of bread. And we get to work and we tell our boss, said, "Listen, I'm here only because I want to be here, not because you gave me this job." Why do we get like that? Why do we get crossways? Why do we get vile with people? Because we're not focused on God. If we're focused on God, we're presenting the love of God to all people. It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Gotta stay focused, dear friend. Where was her focus? Her focus was not on Mary. Her focus was on my God, my Savior. That's where our focus needed. Because if it wasn't for our Savior, dear friend, we would be in a heap of trouble. Then you notice in verse 57 through 66, you have the actual birth of John. The actual birth. Mary stayed around about three months, it says there in verse 56, and goes on down in verse 57. You begin to have the birth presented. You know what's amazing? Look at verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came. Full time came. You notice that phrase right there? You know over in Galatians 4:4 says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son." What are you trying to say, friend? I'm saying this. God is always on time. His time clock don't revolve around your troubles. His time clock revolves around His will for your life. It could be possible that you're not in the will of God, and therefore the solution's there, and you haven't got to the proper zip code or the address where God desires for you to be in your life. Therefore, you cannot have your problem met or God's plan worked in your life because you are hindered.
God. In the fullness of time. This was a lady well stricken in age. God still worked, didn't he? Listen, look at verse 58. We'll say, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Our lives should be so open that our neighbors are able to see the blessings of God on our life. Do you realize you might be the only Bible that your neighbor ever sees? If they listen, your neighbors have enough trouble on their own. They have more difficulty they can deal with on their own. They don't need you to come outside and get their newspaper and look over there and see you. And they know you're a Christian. They know you go to church. They don't need to see you coming out at 6:30 in the morning and kicking your cat across the street because you're upset. You know they need to come out. They need to come out and hear a song on your lips, praise on your heart, and joy in your life. We wonder why our neighbors aren't coming to the Lord. We wonder why we're not making an impact on people. Hey, we walk around like we have no God whatsoever. Man, she was excited. You say, well, I ain't never been old and old and old and then delivered a baby. That's something to talk about. Oh, dear friend, we've had greater things happen to us than just delivering a baby. We really have. And our neighbors ought to hear about it. Know how the Lord. You see that phrase? How the Lord had showed great mercy. And they rejoiced. So I got some wicked neighbors. Hey, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches us that God even make our enemies at peace with us. He will. Then about the verse 59 on to 64 showed up there. Kind of do the lawful thing of circumcision and carried him off in there. There was no name in there. The Bible says there they called him just such a habit. Look at verse 59. It was just a habit, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. It was just tradition. It had to be. This is what it was going to be. It must be this. And can you imagine? Think about this for a moment. Elizabeth standing there in the midst of all that, and the ceremony of circumcision taking place, and she has to have enough in her to say, no, his name will be John. We know they didn't accept it because they begin to make signs over there to Zechariah, you know, begin to do sign language. Isn't that amazing? All the way back down in the Bible, they were doing sign language. What is a blessing seeing Sister Johnson and Sister Resto doing that sign and showing that sign? But it's my understanding, and I didn't know this, there's about three more of you ladies in here that can sign. Y'all should have been on up here doing it too. You never know when we need a sign language class. Look, God's going to bless us with a whole section for deaf folks over there. I can't talk to them. I have a hard time speaking English to you. How can I speak English to you and sign to them? She stood up. She said, hey, his name will be John. Sometimes, like, you know what I noticed about that? She wasn't no bossy, in your face, this is the way it's going to be, and I don't care if you like it or not. She was very submissive and humble. His name will be John. Sometimes, ladies, different. You're going to have to take a stand. You don't have to go against your husband. You have to go against your spouse, but sometimes you're going to have to say, God may not be pleased with that. I love you, but God may not be pleased with that. She did. That's what happened there. His name's going to be John. There was an amazing thing there. He began to sign, and I don't know how he figured out what they wanted to be and to write the name, and he wrote the name John, and he wrote it out there, and by faith. Listen, the man can't speak. The man's in front of everybody there. The priest, the high priest. Remember, he had a duty. He was a priest. He was part of this. And now he's having to do something that's contradictory to tradition. But it was the will of God. It was God's will. Let me tell you something. The whole purpose of this whole passage is really about verse number 77. It's really not about John, because God could have used a donkey. He did in the Old Testament. God could have used a whale. He did in the Old Testament. God could have used a farmer. God raised up John to do a specific job. That job was to prepare the way for Christ. But it's not about John. It's not about Mary. It's not about Elizabeth. It's not about Zechariah. This whole story is about verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Sometimes we get so tied up in the Christmas story and this and that, and Rudolph's reindeers flying and noses falling off and things like that. We get so tied up in buying this gift and that gift. The whole purpose of the whole season, dear friend, is that people might know that because of the birth of Christ, the cross of Calvary could happen.
Amen.
They might have knowledge of the greatest gift. That's the Son of God. That's the Son of God. Look at verse 78 as we get close to the end. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we don't need justice in the life which we live right now. We need God's mercy. This world needs His mercy. There's a lot of justice that has to take place on this earth. But right now, dear friend, people need the mercy of God. Let's be a merciful people this season. Be a little merciful. Let's stand to our feet. Yes, I bow, eyes closed. Notice in verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in the Spirit. That was John the Baptist. You know, he waxed strong in the Spirit because we have to be led of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, honoring the Word of God. Dear friend, I would be against God this morning. I'd be antichrist if I stood here this morning and didn't offer you a chance to have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, because it's not about our church. It's not about your pastor. Our message is Christ Jesus saves. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, your Savior, this morning, I'll be down there. I'll have the Word of God with me, and I'll show you what God says about eternal life. Come to Jesus. He'll save your soul, make you His child, and His mercies will flow over your life. What page, Brother Jim? 165, Jeremy.